Welcome to the Side Hustle Project, a podcast where we explore the nitty-gritty details behind what it takes to start and grow a profitable side hustle. I'm your host, Ryan Robinson. In this podcast, I'm bringing you interviews with entrepreneurs, best-selling authors, CEOs, investors, and people just like you who are building and profiting from interesting side hustles. In today's episode, we're talking to Susie Moore, the number one Amazon best-selling author of her book titled What If It Does Work Out? How a Side Hustle Can Change Your Life Right Now. Susie is a prolific writer over on her blog, susie-moore.com. That's spelled SUSIE-MOORE.com. And she has more than 45,000 subscribers following along with her weekly updates. Susie's had her work published on sites like Time Magazine, Business Insider, Lifehacker, Inc., Forbes. On the Today Show, the list goes on and on. And she'll be the first to tell you that she's gotten to where she is today largely by building meaningful relationships with the people who've gone on to help her accomplish some of her most impressive feats. Susie's story is super interesting. She left her career as a sales director earning $500,000 a year to running her own business as a life coach. And when she first got started, it wasn't all that glamorous, as she was earning around $4,000 a month from her coaching practice. Seeing that she's written an entire book about how to launch a side hustle, Susie naturally got started with her own life coaching business about 18 months before she'd eventually quit her day job. This is back in 2013. And since then, her business has grown big time. In this episode, Susie and I are talking about how she got her first big breaks in the life coaching business, including the exact, easily replicable strategy she used to land her first paying customers. We're digging into her best advice for anyone who wants to start a side hustle today, including her actionable tips for overcoming the fear of failure, how to force yourself into action by setting aggressive deadlines, and what it takes to scale beyond your first pool of customers. We're hearing about her journey to launching a self-published book that eventually became a bestseller, her advice on being more productive with the limited amount of time you have. We're tapping into her advice on being more productive with the limited amount of time you have to work on your side hustle, and seriously, so much more. As always, you can find everything we mentioned in today's episode in the show notes at ryrob.com/podcast. That's spelled ryrob.com/podcast. Let's get into today's interview with Susie Moore. Susie, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Ryan. I'm so excited to be with you.
Well, I'm excited to have you here. And I've been asking all of my guests recently the same warm-up question. What book are you reading right now, or what's been your favorite recently?
Right now, I'm rereading The Power of Intention by Wayne Dyer.
Ah, and what are we getting out of it this time around?
Oh, if you haven't read any Wayne Dyer, Wayne Dyer has, I think, 30 or 40 books. And The Power of Intention is kind of my favorite. He speaks about how your thoughts completely shape your world. And when you're clear about your intention and your thinking, you create the exact life that you want.
Oh man, I love that message. I think that also sort of crosses all boundaries, work, personal life.
It really does. How to have a great relationship, a great health, how to be really clear about what it is that you want, and then only think thoughts that align with what you want. It's pretty awesome.
I love that. Mm-hmm. All right. So Susie, one of the things that I personally like most about you is that you have a very unique story. You're not one of the typical, serial startup founders. I'm doing air quotes right now. We've had so much of here on the show. You seem to have really sort of, blossomed into your own entrepreneurial endeavors a little bit later on in your career. So I don't want to, step on your toes with that assumption. So could you take us back to what you would consider to be your first business?
Yes. So this really is my first business. I mean, I have a corporate background. I worked in ad tech, selling, programmatic video software for years. And I worked, largely in startups because I love small companies. And then the last startup I worked at was sold to a Fortune 500 company. And around about that time, I started my own side hustle because I knew not only did I want to work for myself, but the work that I was doing, it was fine and it was good and there are lots of perks to it. But being in a kind of a corporate sales job wasn't, really my life's work. I knew that in my heart. Mm-hmm. So I started side hustling as a coach and writer. And then 18 months in, I left my job, which was very sweet paying, by the way, and just decided to commit full time to my own business. And that was 3 years ago.
Out into the unknown. So that's actually a really scary decision, axing an income that's, obviously more than what you're bringing in on the side, I would assume.
Yes. Yeah. So in my last sales year, the last year of my job, I made $500,000. And in my side hustle, I was working a few hours a week and I was making around $4,000 a month. So it's absolutely different. But the way that I thought about it, the way it made sense to me was, if I'm making great money and succeeding at something I like, in like lukewarm kind of language, and I am just kind of tossing a little bit of attention to this like side hustle project, which is really making me passionate, then why wouldn't I just soar at that too with my full focus? It's not even a question of time. It's just a question of like focus and being able to just really commit. So for me, I know this sounds crazy and maybe I am a little nuts, but the way that I thought about it was, staying in a job that I don't like is risky because, number one, it's terrible for your spirit. And also, over time, like look around you, people are constantly being laid off. There's no such thing as job security. So I feel like working for myself is actually the safest move.
Yeah. And you just touched on something that I think a lot of our listeners here today can resonate with, is that, working away in a job that you don't feel super motivated about, you're not enjoying, maybe it's the people that you don't necessarily jive with, or maybe it's the product that you're working with. It's just not up your alley. And it doesn't feel like something you can do for a long period of time. So I would be really curious to hear, what kinds of steps did you lay leading up to when you started working on your first side project?
The most important thing, I mean, we touched on this briefly before we started recording, but the most important thing, I think, in any business, if it's writing a book, if it's getting your first paying clients, launching your first product or service, is you can't overthink it, right? You really can't overthink it. And whatever you're curious about, whatever it is you want to do, whatever kind of, idea you have, you're probably very competent in launching very quickly. Right? It's people who have ideas for years, talk about the book they're going to write for years, talk about the project they're going to work on for years and never do it. The people who they really have no faith in themselves, and because they have no faith in themselves, nothing happens. It's better to even be less competent, right? And less perfect, right? And less kind of planned, and just just fire and not just be constantly taking aim. I mean, the people who I even see, the side hustlers who just kind of right away decide to commit and put themselves out there, they get the success, right? Because they just go with it. They create momentum and move. So the most important thing is just to, like, when I started my coaching business, I took some coaching classes at the weekend, and then immediately, within like 3 days, 5 days of taking my very first course, and it's a long course, right? Take months to complete. I never even completed it. But within 3, 4, 5 days, I emailed all my friends saying, I'm now in training as a life coach. Please send clients to me. Like, anyone you think you can benefit from coaching? And that was it. And that's when I became a coach. Not when I started going to classes, not really get a certification. You become what it is that you think you are once you start doing it for money.
Right. When you take the actual action.
Yes. And look, you might be doing lots of things on the side as a hobby, but what turns a hobby to a hustle or a hobby to a business is just a few dollars, right? Like one paying client. It doesn't even matter what they're paying you, but as long as you're being paid to do something that's of value, then you're in business.
Do you remember that first client that you landed for your life coaching business, who that was, and maybe how they came about to, pay you for this coaching?
Yes. And let me tell you, Ryan, I was so scared. I felt like such a fraud. I felt it was way too early. I was so nervous before meeting her. I was really hoping that she'd cancel, and she didn't. The way that I initially got her as my client was, I was living in a pretty tall apartment building at the time, and they had a common online board where you can post things like, oh, I'm looking for a dog sitter, or, does anyone recommend a great sushi place, or I'm selling my couch. And I just put it up there. I was like, I'm a life coach in training, and I'd love, I'd welcome any clients in this building at a special price. I just posted it, and she came from my building.
Wow. Literally turned to your community.
Yes, my residential community. Yeah, I thought, this is the only way I'm going to become really good, right? If I practice and if I do it. So, I put it out there. I put it out there in lots of different ways. And she was the very first person who booked me and then came to see me, I think within 24 hours. So, moving quickly was an important part for me.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I think you really hit the nail on the head with that, because when you start moving, when you start getting momentum, you sign your first clients, you cross what I think is a mental hurdle even more than anything. And then it becomes much easier to keep selling yourself and to keep booking more people in under what you feel like is working.
Yes, absolutely. And you realize that, you know, the only cure for fear really is action. And then after that, the next time was easier. The next one was easier. The next one was easier. I started getting results. I started raising my prices, right? That's, you don't become an excellent coach overnight or by reading books or going to classes. You become an excellent coach by coaching. Same with anything, right? And so I just, when you dive in, that's when you also surprise yourself, maybe how competent you can be.
Yeah. So Susie, I want to tap into something you just said a minute ago, a quote from you, the only cure for fear is action. And
yes,
that's something that really jumped out at me as being something that, looking back over sort of my own career with side projects, with freelancing, consulting, you know, launching a blog, all these things, is that overcoming that fear the very first time is the most difficult time. And I think it becomes easier and easier to launch more projects and to put yourself out there after you overcome that first mountain. So what, I guess, in your experience, have you learned? You sound pretty extroverted, by the way, but some yes. people listening today might not be as comfortable with just jumping straight out there and asking people to pay them for, you know, their services or for a product. So what kind of advice would you share with someone who maybe isn't as comfortable just jumping out there and asking for, you know, money in return for their time and their work?
Well, I think it's important to know it's not easy really for anyone, right? Even people who are, you know, seemingly confident or extroverted or, you know, I mean, I was in a sales career for a while and still it was really scary for me to put out there, you know, like, oh, you know, I have an hourly rate, you know, and say, you know, I'm charging for this new thing. The thing that I kind of remind the people who, you know, who are in my world is just, you know, think about the fear of not doing it, right? Okay, so say, okay, so you're scared, you don't want to do it, fine. That. Okay, cool. Well, then don't do it then. Okay, how does that feel? Like, doesn't that feel kind of scary, a long game? You know, going to stay in that, like stay in that job another year, then another year, then another year, and then you're laid off and you're like, wow, I should have taken that action. Like, when you kind of break it, there are a couple of things. Number two, like, the first thing is you have to remember that the risk of doing it, the fear of not doing it is always worse. If you ask yourself the right question and moving in the right direction, the fear of not doing it will always feel worse. And secondly, sometimes you just have to like just pull yourself together a little bit and think, you know what, I'm going to be dead soon, right? How long is a lifetime? Not very long. And like, what is really so terrifying about this? You know, like, what is the worst that can happen? And then what? And then keep asking yourself, you know, and then what? And then what will happen? And then, and you will not end up like in a homeless shelter, right? But or toothless under a bridge. Like, you just won't. Say you launch something and it doesn't get the response you want. No problem. You can tweak it. You can launch it again. Like, there are always like solutions, and you know, you know, failure is like the most truly useful thing, even though we don't think it at the time. Whatever we catastrophize in our minds, in reality, it's so like it's never as bad as we think. Like, we make it so much worse in our head than actually just pulling the trigger.
Yeah, and I think that's also probably the biggest point of beauty in the side hustle, and that kind of segues nicely into the next thing I wanted to talk about with you, which is side hustles. So you're the best-selling author of the book, What If It Does Work Out? How a Side Hustle Can Change Your Life Right Now.
Yes.
So can you tell us about what led you to writing this book? Why did it have to come out of your head and onto paper?
Well, it's so interesting because I started as a coach. I was coaching on different things like negotiation, and I was coaching even, you know, about sales, and I was doing all sorts of coaching. And then people were just coming to me because I started writing also to attract clients. That was my goal really for writing, just to attract people to me and build a community of people I could coach. And it was so interesting because people just wanted to know if they could leave their job too. You know, because they saw, you know, my transitional, they heard me write, or, you know, read what I'd written about it. And they were like, I'm so unhappy as a lawyer, as an accountant, working in insurance, you know, working here, working there. And it was just the thing that most people were curious about and wanted to know. So I ended up kind of doing more trainings on it and telling people they could give themselves permission to start doing something creative or something passion-based. And it's a thing that really just became most popular in what I was doing. And so, in a way, I kind of wrote that book so I didn't have to repeat myself. You know, when it came to like what to do first, you know, how to identify your idea, how to package it, like how to get it out there, because it was just what I was constantly repeating. And so I just felt like a book was the best way to like reach as many people as possible with something everyone can afford, with a really practical and, by the way, highly trending like subject right now.
It was your most comprehensive answer to a question you were fielding all of the time.
Yes, because it's not a 5-minute conversation. Someone's like, how do I start a side hustle? Yeah, or how do I make my side hustle profitable? It's not a 5-minute chat, right? It's like it's a bit deeper than that. So, creating a book is what I thought just be really, really practical. I want it to be practical, like easy and fun. Like you want to remember that your life is supposed to be fun, and doing something on your terms, like creating a side hustle, is meant to be enjoyed by you.
Yeah. And I think you just touched on something right there that I really want to highlight for our listeners today, is that, you know, the best side hustle that you can start for you today isn't just some random idea or market opportunity that you spotted on Twitter trending somewhere, or, you know, you were listening to a podcast and it sparked an idea that's totally random and out there. I think when you dig into your own interests and your own, you know, what you think of as fun and challenging, is when you get the best sort of side hustle ideas.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. In fact, whenever I see people, I mean, not fail, but give up on their side hustle, right? Which is, you know, just meaning it wasn't the right one for them, is when they try and do something just for the cash. Like, I knew someone who started importing some type of plastic goods from China to sell them here at profit, because she heard that was a great way to make money. And as soon as she had like a couple of setbacks or bumps in the road, she stopped because she didn't like it. And when you really enjoy what you're doing, and I hate, you know, even just saying passionate, because you can be passionate about lots of things. And but when you kind of really enjoy what it is that you're doing, then your setbacks just don't hurt you as much, and your resilience just is naturally going to be stronger, because what you're doing means something to you. So you have to really enjoy the whole adventure that you're on.
So I clearly share the same sort of aversion to the word passion as you. I think it's a scary word that halts a lot of people from actually getting started on something, because they're like, oh, you know, I've really got to feel passionate about it before it's the right idea, if you listen to, you know, what everyone is preaching out there. So maybe if you could just talk a moment about how to sort of accept that, you know, you don't have to be super deeply in love with an idea, and how you can just sort of, you know, get started with something that might turn into a good idea for you.
Yes. So I think whatever just makes you feel curious, right? It makes you feel awake or interested whenever you're around it. For example, one of my friends has a side hustle, and it's a dog blog, because she's just so, like, she loves dogs. She's always so curious about how they can, like, be healthier, especially living in the city. And she's got a great dog blog around that, and she's now selling her own products. Another person of mine in my program, she loves creating jewelry, and she was making it for her daughters for a long time. And then, you know, a couple of people said, oh, can I have a couple of those as gifts? And it's like, side hustle alert. You know, if people really like what you're doing, I don't think she'd say she's the most passionate jewelry maker, but she has fun, and she's curious about how to constantly make kind of things more beautiful or more kind of unique, then that's a great place to begin. And if you just follow your curiosity, then just so much unfolds naturally over time, and it leads you to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. But you don't have to feel red hot passionate about a subject to be good at it and to get started there. But if you follow just kind of what interests you and what kind of makes you feel just, you know, kind of awake, or, you know, your ears perk up when you hear about it, or it's a topic you like, you know, reading about or talking about, then chances are that's good enough.
I love that. I couldn't agree more. Mm-hmm. So Susie, your book, What If It Does Work Out, hit the number one bestseller position on Amazon in the women in business category. Can you tell us how that happened? Was it something you strategically masterminded, or was it just some pleasant surprise one morning that you were sitting at the top?
Well, these things, I wish. Because I have a community, I'm lucky enough to have people who like to read my blog and who subscribe to my weekly wellness tips, my weekly confidence injection. And I planned a launch date. And because initially I self-published my book, so I had, you know, I was kind of completely in control of the release date and all of the marketing around it. So I decided on a release date, and then I decided to share it with my community all at once. And luckily, that was enough to hit that spot for me. So if you have enough of a, if you're doing good things, right, if you're doing good work and it resonates and lands with people, and then you create a product around what they want, then chances are you'll have success too, whatever that is for you. Like, maybe you want to sell out an event, or maybe you just want to have people shop for your knitting class, or like your yoga, you know, whatever it may be. But if you're giving a lot of, you know, creating a lot of good free content, and you're helping with what the things that you do in terms of what you share, what you write, maybe your podcast, like, you know, like yours, Ryan, like, you'll be amazed at, you know, it's even just this concept of your 1,000 true fans, like what that can do for you, what that can do for you in your business.
Yeah, the power of the community cannot be understated.
Absolutely. And I think publishers, like book publishers, are being aware of this more and more because they want to find people who have communities. And it's great because it means that so much is in your control. Like creating a community, that's really up to you. No one can stop you from doing that. And you have all of the tools, like being the internet, at your disposal to do it. Like think about what you need for a podcast, like a microphone, right? And a connection. And then some very basic editing skills, right? To write a blog, you need just to be able to type. Right. So Seth Godin says, and I quote him a lot, he says, "How dare you be ordinary when the world's made it so easy for you to be extraordinary?"
I love that quote of his.
Yes. And it's like now, I mean, think about like this time we're alive in history. I mean, we could really do anything. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a real privilege. And it's a real shame if you want to create something and you don't.
Yeah. Yeah. We live in a very empowered age as far as all the tools and knowledge goes.
Yes, I was explaining it to my mom. She's like, "What's this blagging, like as in vlogging?" And I was like, "Oh, you just write." And she's like, "Can anyone read that?" And I mean, it's really true. Like we are extremely fortunate to be alive now.
So Susie, you know, still on the topic of launching a book, you were fortunate enough to have a community. Do you know by chance, you know, looking back, how many email subscribers you had or how many people in a Facebook group, whatever that format the community was, how many people are we talking about?
How many? So back in the summertime, so I launched the first round of my book in July. So probably around, I'm guessing, maybe it would have been between like 25, maybe 30,000 people in terms of email.
That's very sizable.
Yeah, maybe, yeah, around that. I mean, it's been a year and a half now, and I'm at almost 45. So, and my people naturally will largely come to me organically because I write a lot. So I'm guessing it was around then. And then, of course, I use all my social channels, and a couple of my friends who also have some audiences are talking about it too. So, and one other thing I did, especially if you like to write, is I hit up all of my editorial connections, and you know, I had like 8 or 9 excerpts in Business Insider. Like it's amazing what people will do for you when you create work that you're proud of, and if you've been doing the right thing until that point. So people want to help you out too if you've been helping them out and you've been like a cool person to work with or a cool supportive friend. Like when you launch a book, it's absolutely okay to get help and ask for help.
I love that. So, you know, aside from that right there that you just mentioned about, you know, leveraging your relationships, your contacts, the people you've built goodwill with over time, what would your advice be to someone else who wants to launch any project? Doesn't necessarily need to be a book, but if you want to talk about book, that's fine. Anyone who wants to launch a project without already having that large community built. What's your advice?
Well, yeah, everyone starts from there, right? Everyone starts from there. I certainly started from there. My initial email list was like 30 or 40 people, which is just my friends at the time. And that's where you begin. And if you do good work, right, and you share good information and you provide helpful advice and you can create any content, people will just naturally find you and be attracted to you. And then your people, there's this law of thirds that James Altucher talks about, that, you know, a third of people love you, a third of people won't like you, and a third of people just won't care about you, right? I find that when you start creating content around your product or service, that one third of people who love you find you. And that's where you just kind of get where you want to be. If you have an idea in terms of launching a business, the best advice I would give is to just have your deadline and make it really close and just commit to doing it and commit to releasing it and commit to shipping something within, I would say, less than 28 days.
Ooh, that's great. I love putting that timestamp on it too.
Life coaches are obsessed with goals because, you know, a goal without like a deadline isn't really a goal, right? It's kind of like a dream or, you know. So if you set a deadline for yourself to like make it happen, like you're like, I will release this. I will, you know, release my party planning business or launch my party planning business. And when I say launch a party planning business, you can do that on Facebook with a post. Right? You can do that with an email to your friends. You can do it in so many free and creative ways by starting small. And as soon as you get your first check, right, that means you're legit and you have a side hustle. That'll be the first of many checks if you keep going.
I love that. This is turning into a very quotable interview. I like this. A goal without a deadline is just a dream.
Yeah, isn't it? I mean, I'll do that one day. It's like one day. It's like, there's a funny thing I always like to say. I say with my side hustles, I'm like, some people say one day, we say day one. right? So today is day one. And you know what? If you have something in your mind, like that you want to create, you've probably been thinking about it for a long time. I have people come to me who said, you know, I wanted to start this business for like 7 or 8 years. One of my students, she teaches like married couples how to communicate better about money, which is very important. We look at divorce rates and the reasons for divorce, like money really being up there. She wanted to do it for so long, and she was doing it for free in her circles for years. And then she's like, no, I want to help people who I don't know because I know more people need this. Mm-hmm. And so like, so her side hustle was 8 years late. You know what I mean? She was doing.
And it sprung out of something like, that she just loved doing.
Yes. And she was good at doing it. She knew it added value of solving a problem. So literally, so she also has pulled the trigger with an email and with a Facebook post. That's it.
It can be that simple if you allow it to be.
If you allow it, that's absolutely the point. Yeah. It's all about the allowing. Mm-hmm.
All right, well, Susie, I want to transition over to a few of my frequently asked questions that I keep intentionally short on my end. Your answers do not need to be equally so.
Okay.
What would be your number one piece of advice to someone who wants to start working on their side hustle today?
Launch something, ship something, meaning someone can pay you to sell something within 28 days.
I love that. What's the first step?
Yeah, no overthinking. The first step is just to get clear on what it is that you're offering, what problem you're solving, and what value you're providing. So if I work with you and I purchase your package or your product, your physical product, what value is it to me? Will I sleep better? Will I look better? Will I be more relaxed? Will I make better decisions? Like, what is exactly the value, the value proposition, and like the problem solving, like clarity of what it is that you're offering? That's the most important thing to know.
Mm-hmm. So Susie, digging into your 18 months of hardcore side hustle time,
yes.
What kinds of sacrifices have you had to make in order to put enough time and effort into growing your side business?
I have to say, and this is a funny answer, I think, but it was true for me. When I became a side hustler, I felt like I really turned pro in my life because I lost a lot of the nonsense. You know how if you're, you know, going to work and you're getting paid and you come home and then you kind of like, you know, you kind of go out, you get a happy hour, you watch TV, you do whatever, you kind of, you know, mess around. Those things just happened less for me. I was much more intentional about who I spent time with, about what I said yes to. I was more intentional about just kind of really managing my calendar. And by the way, a side hustle doesn't have to take over your life. Like, if you think about it, from just say you're working in a service-based business and you're selling hourly, you know, hourly sessions of whatever, then you can do, you know, Tuesday at 7, Tuesday at 8:30, still have dinner with your spouse. Wednesday, go to yoga. You know, Thursday, do the same thing. Friday, you know, do whatever. Saturday morning, just have two clients Saturday morning back to back, and then you have Saturday afternoon. If you're really intentional and clear about what time you have, then time just seems to expand. It's when you're putting things off and leaving everything last minute that you tend to, like, you know, work crazy late or feel flustered and overwhelmed. I didn't really feel particularly overwhelmed with my side hustle. I was working, I was calculating it, but I was working around 12 to 16 hours a week. And my job was pretty busy. I had to travel a lot and do a lot of client entertainment after work. But I felt that because I got serious and got rid of a lot of the kind of just like not the riffraff, but the things that in my life that wasn't really serving me, then there was a lot more time than I thought.
I've definitely experienced that same sort of sensation. It's almost hard to put a finger on it because it's so intangible, but I think there are immense benefits from just being laser focused. You do everything more effectively, more efficiently.
Yeah, what did you like? What have you noticed? Like when you've had to manage multiple things, like how has it helped you?
Oh, it forces me to prioritize. So I realize that I stop doing things that don't give me a return towards my most important immediate goal. And that's sort of the way that I try and frame it. It's like, you know, is it really worth it for me to write this blog post for myself for, you know, 6 to 10 hours this week if my goal is to make, you know, a higher side income in the meantime and, you know, go out and maybe sell that blog post for $1,000 or something instead?
You know, that's absolutely it. And one other thing that I say too to my side hustlers is in the very beginning, especially, 80% of your efforts have to on money-making activity, right? So you can have a beautiful website and a gorgeous like Instagram page, but like that doesn't mean anything if you're processing $0 every month, right? It's like
exactly.
You want to focus on revenue-generating activity like 80% of the time.
Susie, have you had any
to later in business too? But I think sometimes that's how people get stuck, because they do a lot of the behind the scenes work out of fear, but they don't. But they don't really follow through with the transactional side.
Yeah, you nailed that. Susie, have you had any particular strategies, tactics, or ideas that you've tested over the years that have ended up being a failure?
Oh, so many of them. Yeah. I launched a program, which I wasn't crazy about, that I dropped in the beginning, and I spent money on that. So you want to always be careful about what you're investing in. I think I was also kind of slow to adapt to like maybe more modern marketing techniques. I kind of use more kind of old school traditional marketing techniques. And I think, so for example, like I only really started doing webinars in the last like few months. Mm-hmm. And I should have done them a lot sooner, and I wasn't really using them. And I feel as if I've kind of been late to really understand like paid forms of attracting and, you know, people to your email list. I've been doing it kind of like just like through writing truly organically, which is great because my list is engaged, but I think I probably could have like gotten onto like, you know, paid growth sooner, especially if it's supported by my, you know, by my business. But one thing that I have done well, and I think that some people need, like especially need to hear this, because it can be hard when you're managing your own kind of, you know, budget in the beginning, is I've always really managed my margins clearly. So I think that a lot of people will kind of, you know, they'll make some money and then they'll spend it. They'll hire, or they'll, you know, get, you know, have a glamorous photo shoot, and, you know, other bits and pieces, which are nice to have, but, you know, not necessarily must-haves. And so I think managing your margins from day one is very important.
I love that. Well, yeah. Susie, this is going to be my last question for you. Mm-hmm. What's been the best investment you feel you've ever made in the context of growing your business? So this could be in the form of time, money, online tools, product, services, or otherwise.
This one's simple. For me, it's definitely be like, I want to put this like, because it's so important. The most important investment I've made has been in my relationships with people, because no one achieves success alone. Right. And when it comes to like, you know, launching a book, having people speak, you know, speak about you, having people want to hire you, having people who want to help you, having people, you know, collaborate with you and share, you know, their ideas with you. Like that's really where the magic happens, in collaboration. And so I think it's important as a side hustle or business owner or just general human being to always be around people who are going to inspire you and who you like, who will help like push you forward and who you can also maybe, you know, work with one day. I think the investment in relationships is always, for me, that's how I lead. And it's definitely key for me.
I love that, because, you know, the relationships will last so much longer than just the current side hustle you're working on.
Yes, exactly. And when you think about it, like everything, like all success is achieved like through a team because of people. I'd even say this in business, like even if you still have a job and you're looking for a new job, it's people who make decisions, not businesses, right? So people, like people matter. So people first.
Beautiful. Susie, okay, well, thank you again for joining us. Can you tell everyone listening today where they can go learn more about you and everything you're up to?
Yes, you can check out my my website, Susie, SUSIE-more.com, where you can also order my book, and you can also check out my side hustle program, sidehustlemadesimple.com.
Awesome, and we'll include links to all of those in the show notes. Susie, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much, Ryan.
If you enjoyed this episode of The Side Hustle Project, I would love your support. Head on over to the Apple Podcasts app and give us a rating. And as always, you can catch every episode of The Side Hustle Project on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for tuning in.